am I smart enough? Am I patient enough? Am I, you know, am I able to teach high school?
That's basically my answer.
So all of these, you get very focused on what you can do. Am I enough? And like you said, no, but God is.
Welcome to the Marriage After God podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Smith. And today I'm joined by David and Leslie Nunnery. They're founders of the Teach Them Diligently Homeschool Conference. Yes, this is the same conference that Jennifer and I attended earlier this year. So we've talked about it quite a few times already. But before we start, don't forget to hit that like button and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening. Also, please do us a huge favor and leave us a review and a comment. We really love reading those. Lastly, if you would like to support what we do here, please visit shop.marriageaftergod.com and grab a copy of our newest book titled The Marriage Gift, 365 Prayers for Your Marriage. David and Leslie have been married for 27 years with 4 grown children and 2 brand new grandbabies. David and Leslie started teaching Teach Them Diligently in 2011, just 1 year after beginning their own homeschooling journey, with a mission to inspire families to prioritize discipleship. In our conversation, we explore the early years of homeschooling, overcoming feelings of inadequacy and fears of failure when considering homeschooling, and the vital mission of discipling our children at home, with everything else, academics included, taking second place. Be sure to check out the show notes for an exclusive discount on registration for their conference, and join us now for this powerful and encouraging conversation with David and Leslie Nunnery. David and Leslie, welcome to the Marriage After God podcast. I'm so happy to have you guys.
Thank you so much for having us here. It's a joy.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Yeah, I'm super excited to talk to you. My wife and I, David, I met you for a few moments. You were gracious enough to chat with me in the foyer at the Teach Them Diligently conference this last year, and gave me your information to get you on my podcast. And I'm super excited to talk to you guys about homeschooling and the conference and all that. We loved the conference, by the way. I don't know if everyone knows what you guys do, but we'll be getting into that. Before we do, why don't we just start with you guys sharing who you are, your names, family, children, and we'll start from there.
Well, David and Leslie Nunnery, we started Teach Them Diligently. Teach Them Diligently has a distinct gospel focus, kind of focused on homeschooling. But as you know, Aaron, when you come to the event, we talk a lot about marriage and parenting, and because so much of your life is taken up by those things. And when you start to homeschool, homeschooling is not just an education decision. And so we have felt that homeschooling puts a little bit more pressure on marriage and parenting and those relationships. And we actually believe that it's the relationships that are the secret sauce in homeschooling. It's what makes homeschooling special and makes it really powerful, is that you have that opportunity to actually invest in those relationships more and strengthen those relationships in many different areas and many different aspects. And that's what we focus on. And so the majority of the sessions at our events, at least the most popular sessions, people show up, they go, yeah, we're ready for homeschooling. And then like they go to one session that involves teaching math, and the rest of the sessions are, you know, how to love their wives more, how to love their husbands more. What do I do with my child in terms of anger, and, you know, all these marriage and parenting, issues.
Yeah, we have 4 children. Actually, they are all grown now. So this is our first year in many, many, many years that we aren't going back to school. So we're very excited to have just welcomed 2 grandchildren. And we have a growing family. It's really fun making that transition to this new phase of life. Not just for our family, but it's also been really amazing the doors that God has opened for us to kind of take that rearview mirror that we have and all the things that we've learned through the years, sometimes proactively, sometimes through stubbing our toe, and try to pass that on to the next generation of parents. So very, very grateful for the way that God has grown our family and really opened doors.
Yeah. So our grandkids are 4 months old. So they were born within a week of each other. And
oh, that's awesome.
What we have found is that, you know, we had our children fairly close together. We have 4 kids, And that creates a scenario where stuff happens in bunches. So like they got married within, we had two get married within 6 months. And then now we have two grandkids. So
I love that. I'm excited for that season. I'm about 8 to 10 years away from that, I would imagine. I mean, you never know, but my oldest is turning 13 this year. So I'm just about to get into the teenage years.
So,
yeah, I know. I love talking to, other couples that are just in the next phase of life. And it gets me excited because I am excited. Actually, this is the first year that I'm like, I'm going to be a grandparent one day. And I'm actually getting excited about that. So that's awesome. But you guys have been married for how long, did you say?
I'll let him answer. Let's see if we can do it.
Yeah, let's see.
The pressure.
Well, we were married in 1998.
So 27
for all those, you know,
that's so incredible. Yeah. And you guys didn't, like you just said, you're finally for the first time, like being able to look back and at all the things that you've learned and implement them, but you guys didn't start Teach Them Diligently now. You started how many years ago? 10 years ago? 12 years
ago?
Well,
it's 15. Well, it was in 2011 is when we started it. We had our first event in 2012. And the irony of that is God called us to do that at the end of our first year of homeschooling. So we didn't know anything about anything at that point. We were so green, but God tends to use people who don't feel prepared, and then he does great things. So we're very, very grateful for that.
We always talk about this in our book called Marriage After God, which is this podcast was named after it, is it's all these like little yeses to God. Mm-hmm. It's like God's just looking for us to be obedient and say yes to him. And then he does the work like through us and in us. And he also prepares us and changes us and gives us the things that we need as we go, as long as we're yielded to him. But I love that idea, because so many people are just in general, when it comes to stepping out in faith, doing something bigger than they think they're capable of. There's this question of like, well, I'm not ready for that. I'm not prepared for that. I don't have enough experience in that. I don't have, maybe, but there's only one way to get it sometimes, and it's just doing it, maybe. So you guys started after your first year of homeschooling.
Yeah.
You started this conference, and I can easily understand why you would have done that, because my wife and I jumping into homeschool, a bunch of years ago now, we had no idea. And it's not like there was like a bunch of people that we hang out with. We were like, all of our friends have similar age kids. So everyone's figuring out at the same time. Like, where do you get curriculum? Where do you, how do you, I don't have a degree. What do I do? How do I get, talk to the state? So I totally get why you would have said, we need to do something, because there's other people that have the same questions we have. Is that kind of how it turned out?
Yeah, we actually started with a discipleship focus.
Yeah. I mean, we moved to where we are in Greenville, South Carolina, and we were excited to send our kids to the private school that was here. Matter of fact, it was a big part of the decision of why we moved here, was to get our kids into this particular private school. And the private school didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't like we were angry at the principal or a particular teacher, or there was a bully, or there was woke content or whatever.
Yeah.
It just purely came down to the Lord just started working on us, and we started getting kind of antsy. You know, that happens to you when the Lord's trying to call you to do something. You start getting really antsy and really uncomfortable. And, we realized that the best way to disciple our kids was to have them with us all day long. There was a pastor that came into a Sunday school class, our Sunday school class, and I don't even remember much about what the lesson was, but I remember him saying, you reproduce who you are, but you teach what you know. And that has always stuck with me. And the immediate response I had to that was, if I'm going to reproduce who I am, man, I want my kids around me more. And, I need to be as involved as I possibly can. I need to be around them as much as possible. And matter of fact, one of the major factors in discipleship is time. You know, how much time do you spend with your kids? And you got to be with somebody you want to disciple. And so that's the way we came to the decision. And then when we started homeschooling, we started to realize that there was a lot of families out there that were thinking about homeschooling as just an education decision and nothing more. How do you get your child into the best colleges? How do they get the best education, standardized testing, and how well can you raise the scores, and all of this, academic type stuff. And there was also this idea of if you homeschool your child, they're going to turn out. It's like, it's a checkbox.
Yep.
And that's just not true. You homeschool because it allows you to have the most time with your child.
You've heard me talk about Samaritan Ministries and how believers come together to care for each other's medical needs. Well, Samaritan has recently launched Redeem Health Share Ministry. It's an additional sharing option from Samaritan that offers flexible, affordable programs with the same biblical foundation, all through a modern digital platform. Redeem still gives you the freedom to choose your providers, as well as the option to include an exclusive add-on feature to help with expenses related to dental care, vision, routine, and preventative care. New features, new programs, new options. Check it out at redeemhealthshare.org for more information. That's redeemhealthshare.org for more information.
And what you're called to do is to disciple. I mean, it's the way we phrase it is your home is your Jerusalem. You know, it's part of the Great Commission. And you need to be with your child in order to disciple them. You can't send them off to a school and have them at the school longer than they're actually sleeping at their bed at night. And you're making your job much harder if you do that. It's still possible, but you're making your job much harder. And so that's the way we kind of approached it and thought about it. We thought about it in terms of our own homeschooling. And then this opportunity arose to start the convention. I remember, just literally walking by Leslie one time and said, well, maybe we should start our own. And like, it's that easy, let's snap our fingers and let's just start our own. But it was the way we kind of thought at the time. We were young,
Well, and it was the entire reason that Teach Them Diligently was started was to encourage families to position homeschool correctly. So not to see it as an end in and of itself. I mean, it produces great academics. It produces all of these things. But the bigger thing for a missional family and a Christian family is it gives you amazing opportunities to disciple your children. And so we started Teach Them Diligently thinking that it was going to be a one-year adventure to really point people, families, to the gospel and towards discipleship. And God had other plans. We've been doing it now for this next year will be our 15 years of producing events. He's grown up our family through this. So his plans were clearly bigger than ours. But the whole heart behind Teach Them Diligently from the very beginning was to focus families in on what their call really was within their families and to help them use homeschooling as a great tool to accomplish that.
You guys started, I'm just realizing this, you guys started the first year you did your Teach Them Diligent conference was the first year we launched our ministry.
Oh, really?
And so we've been, 2012. Wow. And yeah, which is really incredible because our whole intention from the beginning was not just to share our own journey in marriage, but was to point people to the fact that your marriage is also a ministry. So we have very similar alignments in our goals. And I love that your intention in, it's not just like, let's have a better schooling system. Let's have a better schooling experience. It's discipleship focused. What was the, so you said that you were going for a private school. So you already had a concern in your heart about the public school system or about public education or about government, controlled education. I have all my own feelings about all these things. But so it sounds like you already had a concern with there, which is why you were going the private school route, I'm imagining. What was, leading up to that was giving you that concern as you, I'm sure this was happening as your children were getting to the age of having to go to school. What was leading that? What was the triggers for you there? Like, hey, we should be considering, even before thinking about discipleship and homeschool.
Yeah.
What was leading to the private school mentality and avoiding the public school system?
Yeah, I don't know that we ever really thought about the public school system. I went to private school. I was fortunate enough to go to Christian schools all the way up. He did not.
Yeah, I was public school.
And so he knew what was in the public schools. And we just really wanted to protect our children's hearts as much as we could. And what we like, our framework at that time was private school was safer for our kids' mm-hmm. hearts than public school. And in a lot of cases, that is true. So this is not at all dissing on private schools. Right. But as we, like you said, as we got kind of deeper into it, we wanted to be the ones who had the time to invest in the kids' hearts even more than they had teachers who loved them. It was a great situation that they were in. There's nothing about that school that we didn't like, except it didn't allow us the time that God had given us to invest in them.
Yeah.
David, I would imagine you probably thought the same thing I thought, because I was also raised in public school, and I know exactly what public school is like, and I know exactly the kinds of things I got into and the trouble I got into and the conversations I had and the people I hung out with. And so when we were having children and they were getting old enough to go to school, I just, with my wife, I'm like, hey, I remember public school. I don't want that for my kids. And so we started praying about homeschooling early on. Never thought about private school. That was not because I didn't know anything about private school, mm-hmm. but I just knew I didn't want to do the public school thing.
You know, Aaron, we actually, when we were making the decision to send our kid, when they became school age, when our oldest came to be school age, so we were trying to decide what we wanted to do in kindergarten. You know, prior to that, we had worked in a youth group, and we came out of that experience learning a lot, first of all. If you want to know, like, basic training, like hardcore training for parenting, you need to sponsor or be involved in a youth group. It is the best training.
All kinds of family dynamics.
It's the best training on the planet. But we actually, you know, came out of that experience thinking anything but homeschool. And that was, so like for me, because of me going to public school was off the table. And then when we were making this decision, again, he was 4 years old, homeschool was off the table. So it was kind of like, well, let's go with the private school model. And we found a really pretty good Christian private school. Again, he was 4 years old. So we didn't get into, you know, all of the different things that are taught. You know, we just wanted to make sure that he had a safe place to go. And we kind of eliminated these other two. And then maybe 2-3 years later, that's when the Lord started working on us. And we started thinking in terms of where is the best place for us to disciple our child. And that really kind of changed the entire conversation. And Leslie has an entire, you know, when she tells the story, when the Lord's working on her, what's happening in the back of her mind is, David's going to think I'm crazy. You know, she has this entire story about that. And then the Lord's working on me separately.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I think we need to start homeschooling our kids. And then she comes to me and she says, you know, the Lord's been working on me. I think we should start homeschooling our kids. She's flinching, thinking that I'm going to say, what are you, nuts? And I'm going, you know, I think the Lord's been working on me for that as well, which is pretty cool when you think about it, because a lot of things that have been big decisions with Leslie and myself, the Lord kind of has worked on us separately, and then we'll kind of bring it up. And then the other one is like, well, I haven't been praying exactly that way. Mm-hmm. And you're like, wow, okay. You know, I guess the Lord's in this. This isn't my imagination. The Lord's actually in this. And so that's kind of how it came about. There's some more layers to the story, mm-hmm. but that's a big part of it.
Well, I love this idea of how the Lord was speaking to both of you, but you both were also, for whatever reason, there was something triggered in you guys of considering these things, mm-hmm. praying through these things individually. And it's something I want the couples that are listening to this right now to consider is this hearing from the Lord and both, you know, getting the same answers requires both of you guys pursuing the Lord and looking for those answers and asking God, hey, what do you want from us for our family? What do you want for us for our kids? And then coming and then not being afraid to say, hey, what do you think about this?
Yeah.
And then because if you would have just been afraid, Leslie, you would never have said anything.
Right.
Instead of coming and saying, here's something in my heart, where are you at? And then he's like, actually, I've been feeling the same thing. My wife and I have experienced this very thing many times. And so, Leslie, what was going on in your heart? What was triggering that prayerful journey of like, why were you even asking the question? Why are you even coming to God and saying, God, what should I be doing?
Yeah. And another element, I think, of what you were just talking about is making sure that as a couple, you're on the same page as to what your priorities are. We were very serious about discipling our children from the very beginning. Like a lot of the structure that we set up in our home, a lot of the way that we prayed all along since they were very, very young was all about bringing our children to Jesus. How can we give them a foundation for their faith? So that was something that we were very much like-minded on. When I started really kind of sensing that the Lord was changing my feeling on what we should do about schooling, I kind of argued with the Lord for a while. I was like, are you sure? Just kind of pushing back because this was such a foreign concept to me. But as I prayed about it, knowing that this was important to both me and David, so I didn't know how he was praying at the time, but I did know that I was praying in line with what we had already agreed was a huge priority.
Right.
So as the Lord really led me down that path, in hindsight, I'm not really surprised that God had been working in David's life as well. At the time, I was blown away. It was because in the real time, you're like, wow, this is so incredible. I can't believe it. But I've seen God do this so many times now that looking back, it's like, of course he was leading David the same way. We had already gotten on the same page. So the fact that this was important to both of us, I shouldn't be surprised that God, who is so good and gracious to his children, were leading us both to get to the point where he wanted us to be. But it starts really back with having conversations missionally with your spouse. What are your priorities? What are your goals? What's your vision for your family? What are you shooting for? All of those things you've got to be regularly conversing about so that both parties know that they're praying in alignment with each other.
Yeah. And you know, the vision and the mission that we had, it was not from a negative point of view, right? I just want to keep my child out of jail. You know, that's kind of a low priority, but also you got to think about it. It's not the mission. Our mission was not stated in a negative. It was stated in a positive. I want my child to serve the Lord when they get older. I want them to always say yes to God. I want them never to reject him. Okay. So what does that look like? And those are the kind of conversations that we would have. You know, you have that big goal, and then you start having conversations about what that looks like. And so now all of a sudden, if you have a big decision, let's say like homeschooling, which comes out of left field, you're not even expecting it. The conversation now is being phrased in terms of the mission and vision that you guys have already agreed is what you guys have. Mm-hmm. And it completely changes the platform for which you're having that conversation.
Well, it also makes, you know, speaking as a wife, if I know that what I am praying about or what I am doing, how I am spending my time, whatever, is in alignment with what we've already talked about, I am way more bold. I am way more content. I am way more on level ground. You know, It's so helpful for me to know that I am walking in step with him. The family runs better that way. So starting there is really, really important for all parties.
Okay, let's talk about this. You guys have been digging into this idea of discipling your children, and that homeschooling was just a means to that end.
Right.
Like, it wasn't the means, but it was a means. It was like, hey,
it's a great tool.
We want this. And so, and we're doing, and you're doing this, this, and this already. But this over here, time-wise, like it's a logical progression. It's like, where's all the time being spent? If it's not here being discipled, then it's there. I personally, and I know you guys believe this too, that the home, that Christian parents are the main disciples of their children. We are the husbands are the pastors of their homes. Mothers are also teaching their children that we should be raising them to know Christ. We can't, it's not our job to be their savior. That's Christ's job.
Right.
But it's our job to introduce them to him and to teach them about him. It's like where you get that teach them diligently from that scripture. And is it in Exodus?
Deuteronomy 6.
And so I firmly believe that. You guys firmly believe that. You had that idea before homeschooling that you wanted to disciple. So you were already doing that. I would love to, because I want our listeners, because there's going to be people that have their children in public school. There's going to be people that have their children growing up that are currently thinking about, like, what do we do? And I love the idea of starting at discipleship, regardless of the decision. Okay. So let's start with discipleship. Why do you guys think that about your kids and about your home?
You know, parents have the most amazing platform of anyone else with their children. God chose you to parent that child, even the ones that you don't fully understand, even the ones that are kind of veiled to you, that child. God, in his wisdom, put your family together, and therefore he gave you that platform and that position in your child's life, which is an unbelievable privilege. So no matter what decision you're making regarding their education, regarding all of these really secondary decisions, your primary mission must be to take any time that you have and make sure that you are missional with it. That does not mean that every conversation is sit down and let's study the Bible together. But it does mean that you're building relationships. You're making sure that you're keeping short counts with your kids. You're not letting there be a wedge that provokes them to anger or you know, separates your family. You are, you're sharing with them ways that you're growing. Therefore, you need to be growing in your faith and your walk with God. So all of these things, discipleship is incredibly natural. Deuteronomy 6 that we base our ministry off of is as you walk, as you talk, as you rise up, when you lie down, you know, it's as you're doing laundry, as you're in the grocery store, as you're taking a ride. All of these times, these in-between moments are when discipleship is really, really rich. If you are looking for those opportunities. So as a parent on mission, you've got to recognize that platform and that privilege that you have, and then seize those moments that God has given you, no matter where your kids are, to learn their, you know, reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Well, and I don't think the Lord is calling you to be like a super Christian as a parent, right? You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have a theology degree. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to have half the Bible memorized. That's not what the calling is. The calling is to bring your children to Jesus Christ. You know, that's the direct command from Jesus, is to bring your children to Jesus Christ. And that means that you set up the environment around your home. You start making decisions on what am I going to prioritize in my home? What are we going to do each day of the week? Are we going to study the Bible as a family? That doesn't mean that you have to do a huge workbook, you know, on talking about family devotions. You don't have to go out and buy a family, you know, workbook for every single one of your children. You just open the Bible, read a chapter, read a psalm, and then say, what does this mean to you? And then sing a couple of songs and do that most nights of the week. Something as simple as that is family devotions that qualifies, and it makes a huge difference on your kids. Your kids walking downstairs and they see you praying and they see you with your Bible open in front of you and you're actually reading it makes a huge impact on your kids. There's an overflow element of discipleship, whereas the Lord teaches you and you just kind of overflow onto your kids. There's all these different elements of discipleship that come to just being a part of a family that has this priority. You can't hide it, you know, and you can't fake it. And you say that you're sorry as a parent every once in a while when you mess up. That's discipleship as well.
So what you're explaining is it's not just the practical of opening the Word of God and praying and doing those things, which is good, but the reality also of living it. I think the biggest detriment to my generation and any kids actually is hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. You know, do what I say, not what I do. And that's kind of on some level, many of our stories growing up, seeing our parents say one thing, but do another, telling us to be one way, but not being it themselves. And so what you're saying is live out your walk with Christ in front of your children, make it real. And just let them be a part of that. Let them see that. So they learn Christ through osmosis, you know, not just what we say, but what they see. Mm-hmm. And that's a really, really powerful reminder for all of us as parents is we are the main disciplers, that our children are the closest neighbors we have. Our spouses are the closest neighbors we have. We have other neighbors also, but we should be focused also on the closest ones we have in our homes.
Yep.
So what do you have like a specific, I mean, you mentioned some general, like, you know, opening the Word of God and, you know, singing some hymns. What's some of the specifics that you guys did to cultivate discipleship in your home, even before homeschooling? Because I know now in homeschooling, the education, all of the Bible's all incorporated into all of that as well.
Yeah. One of the first things that we started when the kids were really, really little is because we both did have a habit of getting up and having our devotions in the morning, our quiet time with God. The Lord really impressed on our heart that when we kind of gathered the kids together for breakfast, sometimes he was there, sometimes he wasn't. It just kind of varied when he was going off to work. But I would share with the kids every morning what I learned in my devotions. And when they were really little, it was really simple. Obviously, I wasn't giving them a treatise, but just sharing what I learned in my devotions. As they got older, they wanted to do their own devotions. So whether it be a coloring sheet or a little work, but whatever it was, I age appropriately, I would give them resources to have their own devotions.
We're looking for people who have been blessed by this free podcast and our free daily marriage prayer emails and who want to help be a blessing to others. Creating and hosting this podcast and sending out our daily emails do incur a financial cost. And we want to invite you to join our faithful patron team to help financially support these resources so that they can remain free for all who need them. Please join our patron team today and become one of the faithful financial supporters who desires to help bless thousands of marriages around the world. Your support will help us pay for the creation, hosting, and promotion of our podcast and daily emails. Thank you, and we hope to see you become a Marriage After God patron.
And then they started talking about it. And what I didn't realize at the time, because it was such a simple thing, that was such a simple little thing. But it whet my children's appetite for, first of all, getting in God's word. You know, that the only Christians that our children ever saw in the morning was me and David, and we were in God's word in the morning. Therefore, to our kids, that's what Christians do in the morning. Yeah. That's the kind of platform that we have as parents. It's unbelievable. So we kind of whet their appetite for building that habit, making it a lot easier for them than it is if you start later. But also, and this is the part that really blew me away, because we talked about it so freely at the table, just naturally and freely, our kids are unbelievably bold at talking about things of God, talking about their faith. It's very comfortable for them because they practiced it all along. And so that was one of those, you know, I had been praying that there's a verse in 2 Timothy that says that from a child, you knew the scriptures, you knew, you know, the word of God. And I had prayed, God, let my children know the word of God. And so God just kind of impressed that on my heart, which was clearly an answer to that prayer. And what he did with it through the years has just been incredible. But that's just a simple, simple little step of obedience, like you mentioned before, that had a massive impact on our family and the culture of our family.
Yeah. I have, you know, a story that I tell a lot where I thought I was going to do a really good thing. And I went out and bought all of the workbooks around the, you know, the book Experiencing God, which is a great book. And I went and got all of the teen and, you know, children versions of that book, the workbook, got one for me and Leslie. And we were going to go through this every single night until we got through it. And we still have those books. And they're blank.
They are not filled out very much. There's blank. A little bit.
Yeah. And
yeah, those are pretty heady.
It was a lot to bite off.
You know, then we pivoted and we decided, you know what? Let's just read a chapter, you know, of Psalms. And then let's sing two or three songs. And when we read the chapter of Psalms, we go around the room and we say, okay, what did this mean to you? And then I would go last and I would say, this is what I learned from this. And this is connected to this verse and, you know, that, you know, Jesus talks about. And, you know, this is actually a, you know, a prophecy of Jesus Christ coming someday, you know, just kind of talking about the verses and the chapter. And then we would sing the songs together. And it was easy, made a huge impact on the kids. We're in God's word every single, you know, almost every single night. There was definitely nights that we missed, but that turned into the family devotions that we were able to actually maintain. And it built a habit, which the habit is powerful.
Yeah.
And that really turned into something powerful for us. And when I speak on this, it teaches them diligently. I'll actually give that example and I'll say, this is what we do. And the parents are out there taking notes feverishly on this because they're struggling with this devotions thing, because I think that they think that the bar is really high to have family devotions. They got to have it all together.
Yeah.
You know, and the truth is you don't. You just open the Bible, read a chapter, sing a couple songs with your kids, and then let's pray and let's all go to bed.
Well, and, you know, even beyond those things that are more spiritual in nature, some of the best discipleship times that you have are taking rides with your kids. Just David and I talked a lot, you know, as our kids were growing up, there would usually be one that started acting out or something was just amiss with, we could just tell. And, you know, as we would start picking up on this, that would be the one that one of us would be like, we need to take him out on a date. So we'd go for a ride, we'd get a milkshake or, you know, go to the store, whatever it was. And those times, just relationships, just asking questions, going for the heart, seeing what's going on with your child. But strategically using that car ride time, because you're not looking eye to eye, you're sitting side by side. There's a little bit of comfort for the child in that. I found that you may have 20 minutes of silly, absolutely, you know, nothing profound type conversation that builds to, you know, 5 minutes of actually getting to the heart of what's going on with your child. But all of that goes so far towards cementing the relationship that you have with them, letting them know that you are available, that you care, that you are the one that they can take their questions to. Those kind of things, though not specifically spiritual in nature, go a long way towards strengthening that platform, building those relationships, and giving you some really good discipleship time.
Yeah. You guys are just hitting the nail on the head with this. I'm always encouraging families that the getting in the Word of God and having a family Bible time and having this connection with your kids is not as difficult as it sounds. I'm a firm believer in letting the Word of God do the heavy lifting. And if someone was to just, like, if a father was just to sit down, open the Word of God, or a mom, and just read it without having any answers, without having to, like, expositorially teach through it, or, you know, like, have everything put together, but just say, here's what the Bible says. I've just seen it time and time again in people's lives. When people come to know the Lord, often it's the Holy Spirit bringing to their conscience, bringing to the forefront of their mind something that they have already heard about him, something that someone shared with him years ago, something that a Sunday school teacher or their mom or their dad. And so just filling our children's minds with the Word of God is what we're doing, is we're preparing the soil of their hearts. We are conditioning it and filling them. And then the more we do it, the more we know. And then it just, we do become smarter and wiser at knowing the Word of God, but it doesn't need to be something overly complicated. What you guys are explaining is incredibly easy. Sit down. I mean, you got to be brave to do it, because it is kind of scary for the first time, especially. open the Bible and read it. Like start in Proverbs, start in Psalms, read from the Gospels. You know, getting your kids to hear the Word of God consistently every day, because they're not going to hear it from the world. The world's going to twist it. The world's going to say something else.
Yeah, and there's that genuineness there as well, right? They're hearing it directly from you. You know, where Leslie was talking about her mornings with the kids, and those mornings were simply, this is what the Lord is teaching me. That was really powerful for the kids as well to hear. And I think that that genuineness is super powerful with your kids. You know, it's not reading, you know, one of the really powerful theological thinkers, but I think the kids actually don't want, they want you more than they want that, you know? So they want to hear what the Lord is doing in your heart, and they want to hear what you think about the scripture that you just read. They're not very interested in knowing what an ancient thinker thought about this particular chapter. That's not near as important to them.
It also goes a long way to combat that hypocrisy that you were talking about earlier. As you, or if you as parents are sharing how God is teaching you and growing you, it shows your kids that you don't think that you've arrived. You've got way, you've got things to learn. You've got things, ways that you need to grow. And so just bringing them along for the ride, modeling for them the humility of acknowledging that, the humility of saying where you've gotten off course and how God has shown you the way back. Those are tremendous opportunities to just take what God is teaching you and pour it into them and let them see what Christian growth looks like too. So that again, just really is a great tool to combat that, that hypocrisy that you hear so much about, and that can cause such a wedge in relationships between parents and children.
Yeah.
Amen. I'd like to talk a little bit about those early years of you stepping, because you weren't homeschooling, and then you're like, we're going to homeschool now. Stepping into homeschooling, what were those early years like? I'm sure they were super easy and went smoothly.
Didn't make any mistakes in them. No mistakes whatsoever. I actually laugh about it now. We started with a box curriculum with videos, like the whole kit and caboodle, just put it out in front of us. And because the school that I pulled them out of had used that curriculum, and I'm like, this way, if I have to put them back, they're all set. They haven't missed a beat.
It's pretty clever. It makes sense.
And I didn't feel like I was equipped to teach them. So I thought, if they have a video, then, you know, they're getting good teaching. And it took about a month before I realized I'm no more involved in their education than I was before. So we just, we'd made a lot of shifts early on in our homeschooling. But it is a lot of trial and error. You've got to get your feet on the ground. I started with schedule. I wrote out the entire year's lesson plans in ink before the year started. That was foolish because it took about 15 minutes and I was off track. So you've got to, you know, you're going to make the mistakes. And all of us have made very similar mistakes, I think, that have been doing it for a while. But you've got, I think that's where the mission, you know, if you have a view of what you're really trying to do, you recognize that all of these little missteps academically in the action of school, God can redeem those. They're these things will all come out in the end. It'll all work itself out. But I know that this is the best way for me to have these strong relationships with my kids, for me to take these moments. So I laugh at a lot of stuff that we did early on now. But even through that, even through those missteps, even through the guys, this is not working, let's start over. God used that to really strengthen relationships, build the tapestry of our family, like the culture of our family. Very flexible. We laugh a lot because, you know, you laugh when you're growing together. It's funny stuff a lot of times. And God uses all of those missteps. So getting that mission of why you're doing this homeschooling thing at all, recognizing it's a tool and not the the biggest thing in your life, will really help as you're stumbling along, finding your way, which you will, as you're starting out, no matter what, as you're stumbling along though, when you recognize this isn't the biggest thing in my life, this is a tool for the biggest thing, then you can enjoy the ride a whole lot more.
You got to keep the main thing, the main thing. You know, I personally, I think that where a lot of families get off is that they forget what their real mission is, and they start actually straying from the mission, and they start, for instance, comparing themselves to other people, like on Instagram, or they start comparing themselves to another family that's in the church, or they start thinking that they have to finish a book, you know, or they have to stay on a lesson plan or something like that. And they start getting off of what the actual mission is. And if you keep the main thing, it's amazing how everything else seems to fall in line. It's still a little messy, still a little chaotic, but if you have a head of the line, you know, everything else falls in line behind it. And when you kind of get this all mixed up here, or you have the wrong head of the line, it creates chaos behind it.
That all makes sense. This leads me to my next question about, because you're talking about the early years and like, you felt like you didn't know what you were doing or like you were prepared or qualified. That's what I'm imagining every mom feels.
Yeah.
Every family is going to feel this exact same way. I'm sure there are some out there that are like, they've got the degrees.
Not me. I'm good. Yeah, that was not me.
Yeah, I'm sure there's those are out there, but I know that there's probably people listening right now that are like, this sounds like something I want to do. I have an inkling in my heart. I have something nudging me this way. My child is almost to that age and I don't know what to do. I don't feel qualified. I don't feel ready. I don't feel like emotionally prepared. I don't feel like financially prepared. Yeah. I don't know where to start. How do you encourage? What's the light that you shine on the path of someone that's in this place?
Yeah, I actually wrote a book called Heart School that the subtitle is How Amazing Parents Become Excellent Home Educators. But heart schooling is really what David and I have titled what discipleship focused homeschooling is. You're going for the hearts. And so in that book, I actually lay out the path of how you start. What are the things that are important? There are 7 attributes in there that you should be looking for in your life, recognizing your call, aligning your thinking. Like there are exercises in there to help you better understand if you're actually approaching this missionally, how will it look? So that book really kind of encapsulates a lot of what we talk about at Teach Them Diligently, a lot of what we talk about on the podcast and, you know, through other things, just kind of solidified into one short little guide there.
Yeah. That focus on mission is so important. You know, it's, so many families when they start homeschooling, the first thing that they do is they try to figure out what curriculum they're going to use. They go and they buy a bunch of curriculum. They go and they buy the planner. They don't spend any time actually thinking through, why do I want to do this? What do I believe about my role in my child's life? Why does God even have me here to do this? And I don't mean do this in terms of homeschool. I mean, do this in terms of raise them and parent them. Why does God have me here? And you really need to answer that question. You know, what is my mission? That's where you should start, because where things really get chaotic for you in a homeschool or even in a home in general is that you've really kind of lost sight of what your mission is. And you need to get to a point where you understand what your mission is. And so that's one of the reasons why there's actual exercises in the book that Leslie is talking about is to help you get through and actually write out what your mission is so that you're able to actually act on it and build out. You know, we all have the same mission, right? It's some form of bring your children to Jesus Christ. But every family is different. So everything beyond that could change. You know, you live in a different state, and so maybe you handle things a different way. Your children are all different ages. There's different backgrounds. You have different backgrounds. I mean, there's different ways that all that it comes about. But you start with the mission, and then you start actually working out from there. Okay, because we have this mission, what do we believe we need to be doing on a daily basis? And that's kind of the way, you know, that would be my suggestion, first of all, is to work on your mission.
the encouragement to all you listeners is, I think, is very important. Figure out, are you just looking for a solution for education, or are you trying to figure out what your role is in your home for your children? Why God gave you your kids? And it starts by praying and saying, God, what do you have for me? What do you want from me? How do you want me to operate as a mom, as a dad? To see our roles as more than just caregivers. We're not just here, like you said, trying to keep them out of jail or trying to get them, you know, to be functioning adults. You know, it's much more than that. It's to lead them to the Savior and encourage them to know the one who gives them an eternity, not just, you know, 80 years of life. I love that. What are some of the concerns you guys see when it comes to people that are deciding homeschool? What are some of the fears that they have for their children, for the process, that are pretty common that you guys might be able to speak to?
Yeah, the biggest hurdle I think that so many run into is we call it the enough question. Am I smart enough? Am I patient enough? Am I, you know, am I able to teach high school?
Of these. That's
why. Well, basically, yeah. So all of these, you get very focused on what you can do. Am I enough? Mm-hmm. And like you said, no, but God is, and God always will equip you to do what he's called you to do. You may not, he may keep you on your knees every step of the way where you feel wobbly and, you know, you absolutely understand your need for him. Mm-hmm. But that some form of that enough question is just a major hurdle for so many people. And it keeps people off, you know, the homeschooling playground. They never start because they don't think that they are patient enough, smart enough, whatever you fill in the blank. And you know, for some people, it's even, do I like my kids enough? Am I able to actually spend that much time? We go head to head, we fight. And so
that's a real honest question to ask.
I know. But instead of wanting to work on those relationships and get, you know, like grow through that friction point, that becomes the major stumbling block to those that may be feeling like God is calling them to do it. And so my encouragement in that would be work on that relationship, really find what's at the root of that. And you guys grow together and you may find that on the other side of it, that is the tightest relationship you have with any of your kids. But it's going to take investment in those situations.
Well, I mean, I will say that my belief is that your child wants you. Yeah. No matter what they say or they get angry at you or whatever the circumstance is, your child wants you. And they want you more than anything else. And so every child that's out there is, their relationship with their parents makes a mark on them in some way. And so your child wants you. So the question of, does your child want a relationship with you or does your child want to spend significant amounts of time with you? I think the answer is yes, because want you.
I'm always surprised with how often I feel, you know, terrible as a father, and they still like me and they still want to be around me.
The cool thing,
that's what they want.
All the things that we are so hard on ourselves for, and I think especially moms and in kind of a homeschooling context, but just moms in general, we're very hard on ourselves. And it's been really neat having adult children. The conversation around our table when we're all gathered now is so fun and so cool. And they reminisce all the time, but they never bring up those things that I struggle with so much in the moment, where I just feel like I've screwed up so bad that, you know, whatever. Those aren't the things we talk about. They're incredibly resilient. They're incredibly forgiving. And you've got this whole body of work of time invested in those relationships and in parenting and discipling your kids. And it is amazing how those times that you're so afraid of, don't tend to be the ones that come up at your dinner table when now they our kids now will tell us all kinds of stuff we didn't know in real time. So I'm learning all kinds of things that happened.
It's confession time, to be honest with you.
They
feel like it's necessary. They just have to come clean with us now.
The statute of limitations is over.
I actually want to know, because you have children that are totally on the other side of this.
Yeah.
They went through a whole lifetime of homeschooling and you guys teaching them. And what are some of the stories? Like you said, I actually think that's really encouraging that our children aren't going to necessarily remember all of the mistakes.
Yeah.
I know they will, but they remember the good things. And what are some of the things that they say now that that surprise you? You're like, oh, I don't remember. I didn't know you remember that. Or I don't remember that. And that's really encouraging that you do. What are some things that your kids say that surprise you?
One of the things that it just blew me away. My daughter had just gotten married, and she and I do birthday dates with all my kids, even still. So on their birthday, the girls and I go get a hotel. We do something fun, and the boys and I spend a whole day together. So we have birthday dates. And on my daughter's birthday date last year, she had just spent the evening with a group of other young married friends, told them that she was spending the day with me. They were all shocked that I would still spend time with her. And she just started talking about how she couldn't believe that the tightness of our family was shocking to them, that the fact that we enjoyed being together so much was surprising to her friends. That was mind-blowing to her, because that was just her reality. And as she told me that, I honestly just wanted to weep. I was like, God, this is such a grace to us that you have woven these relationships so tightly that even though they've moved on, even though they're building their own lives, we still have that kind of platform in their lives. And that is just one of the most amazing things that I've ever been told in my life.
Yeah. They're at our house all the time.
I genuinely want that for my family. And it's an interesting dynamic. It's like, if you spend less time with them, they want less time. You spend more time with them, they want more time.
They just keep
you have
coming.
A whole lifetime of teaching them and being with them every day, all day. And then now they're adults and they're like, hey, I'm going to go spend time with my parents. That's what I want. Yeah.
It's so fun.
I actually believe that the less time you spend with them, they actually do want to spend that extra time with you. They have a desire for that, because I mean, like this story that Leslie was telling, it just told, the girls on the other side that were from the other families, they were actually jealous.
Yeah, they were. They wished that was their reality.
They want to spend time with their parents. And you know, you hear all these stories about, going to public school. You hear all these stories about these teenagers wanting to have their mom or dad drop them, you know, a half mile away from the school so they could walk, so they didn't see them, you know, and they didn't want to have mom and dad around. You hear all these stories. I think it's just cover. I really believe it's cover, because I think that these kids, they really genuinely long for time with their parents. They want to have individual one-on-one dates with, you know, with their parents. They want to go out with dad and they want to go out with mom. They want to have that time, even in families where there's 9 kids, right?
Yeah, we got
each
6.
One of those children. They want to have their time with mom and
every
dad.
Every single one of them want their own snuggle time every single night. They want their own date night. They all want it. Yeah,
and
much identity and emotional security that comes from a parent-child relationship. And so it is, again, just part of that privilege that God has given us as parents. We can help our kids so much understand who they are, understand who God created them to be, and give them just an emotional stability that is seriously lacking in our world today, just by being intentional in the way that we parent them.
I would say if we were to take anything away from this conversation, just myself, I'm thinking discipleship, time. My kids want time. They want more time. They'll never get enough time. And then like mission, our mission is raising our children to know Christ. And so I really thank you for what you guys are doing. The conference you guys have, Teach Them Diligently, you guys are primarily on the Midwest, East Coast, right?
Yeah.
We have two events in 2026, Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
That's the one we did last year. So
yeah. That's May 7th to the 9th. And then Branson, Missouri is May 14th to the 16th. So it's the very next weekend. So that's a pretty busy, you know, May is pretty busy for us.
I absolutely recommend everyone to go check this out. And if you can make it, it's totally family friendly. There was so many people there that had all of their kids. My wife and I went, it was just me and her and our baby, but we wished we had all of our kids with us because we saw all the families there. And I was like, man, we should have brought all the kids. This is crazy. But we're from the West Coast, so we would have had to buy a lot of plane tickets. So, and it was nice having a date with my wife for a few days.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know what, man? We get that a lot too. We get a lot of husbands and wives that just decide that rather than turn it into a family vacation, they're going to turn it into a retreat for husband and wife.
That's what we do.
And so they'll come to Pigeon Forge or they'll come to Branson and they'll rent a cabin and they'll stay there for 3 or 4 days, you know, and then they'll come to the conference. And
totally awesome. Worth it.
That is a great time as well. We love that. We love hearing that.
My wife begged me to ask you guys. I said, do you have any questions? She's like, I have one question. Are they going to do one on the West Coast? We have a lot of families here that wish they could have gone. We have like our whole community, all homeschools and lots of children. So we are wondering, are you going to do a West Coast trip?
You know, man, we have looked at the West Coast so many times. And it's a hard thing.
There's
where do you have it? You know, and we like to have a concentration of people that would love to come to our event kind of in the area. And so you think about the West Coast and where that would be.
Thinking like, you know, Eugene, maybe.
Eugene.
And plus we are utterly unfamiliar with the West Coast. So maybe we can talk off camera and you can give us some ideas about that. Cause we really would love, we get requests for it regularly.
Mom will help them.
There you go. Help us.
Yeah.
Hey, Marriage After God friends. Thank you for your continued faithfulness and listening each and every week. Jennifer and I have often shared with you about how important prayer is in the life of a believer. It's so important, in fact, that we're told this in 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It is God's will for us to pray, and we want to inspire you to begin praying for your spouse and marriage every day. This world hates marriage, and so does our enemy, because he knows the power that your marriage is meant to have in this world. He knows that if you and your spouse are praying and chasing boldly after God together, that the impact Christ will have in and through you will be powerful. So we need to be praying more than ever before. Our heart is to encourage you, along with everyone who listens to this show, to be praying for your spouses and your marriages, to be strengthened, renewed, healed, prepared, and empowered to do the ministry that God has for you to do in this world together. So, Jennifer and I would love to invite you to join with thousands of other couples in taking our 31-day marriage prayer challenge. This is a completely free and fun way to build a habit of prayer in your marriage. All you have to do to join is visit marriageprayerchallenge.com and fill out the registration form. Once you do that, you will begin to receive an email every day from us during the 31 days to not only remind you to pray for your spouse, but we'll also give you various topics and prompts to help you know what to pray for. We dare your marriage to start praying like never before. Start the challenge today at marriageprayerchallenge.com.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I really appreciate you guys giving me your time. Share again, where can people find you and even check out the conference?
So that would be teachthemdiligently.net. You can actually Google Teach Them Diligently and you're going to find us. We'll be on the front page. We'll be opening up registrations for Pigeon Forge and Branson in mid-September. We've also got a membership platform called Teach Them Diligently 365. You can see that at teachthemdiligently365.com. And you can buy a membership to that right now. And what that includes, it's an audio archive of every single session that has been given at a Teach Them Diligently event. But then you also have courses and they have messaging and communities and all kinds of stuff for moms and dads to get together and talk about the different problems that they have. And then also there's teaching Leslie goes in there on a regular basis and to do mom's nights and that kind of stuff, Q&As, and what else for 365?
Well, that 365 is really important because it's impossible to hit all of the sessions. You just cannot. There's like 20 sessions at a time.
Right.
You're going to one. And so it's really important to do that membership so you can get all those episodes or all the audio for all of the sessions you missed.
Yep. It's really beneficial. It's probably my favorite thing that we do, actually, because it gives me the platform to invest in more, specifically more women's lives and mentor and disciple them to be able to, for them to go turn around and disciple their children. So I do love Teach Them Diligently 365.
Awesome. Well, I'll make sure that those links are for sure in the show notes so everyone can find them. David, Leslie, I really appreciate you guys' time and I love the ministry you guys have. So I just pray that God continues to bless you in doing all that.
Thank you so much. It was a great conversation.
Yep. Thanks, awesome. Aaron.